News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show.
Is like a room without windows.
History and Heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. By Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're going to start this hour of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment, written and produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission. And her story today is about how the El Paso Library got started.
A house without books is like a room without windows. In 1884, Mary Irene Stanton arrived with a trunk full of books to teach at El Paso Central School. Books had always been Mary's first love, and she knew that a child's reading skills were important to their success in school and work and would open doors to all kinds of new worlds. But El Paso had no public libraries, so in 1894, Mary made her own personal collection of over 600 books available to high school boys by starting a reading club. The following year, she formed the El Paso Public Library Association, and in 1904, their doors were opened to the first public Carnegie Library, located at 500 North Oregon Street. More history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
That's where I found you last time. You were just sitting there on the line.
Yeah, that's right.
Doing inventory. No, that's a great thing you did there. That's also the part of the Women's Club legacy as well.
Right, yeah, because we're going into our 100th anniversary of the clubhouse itself.
And I know there's a video being done about that,
a
so we're going to see how that all works.
They're getting ready to do the Wall of Giants. They've been selected, the first women's group to be selected as the Wall of Giants.
El Paso County Historical Commission has a website, elpasocountyhistory.com.
Ooh, brand new and updated. It's really nice.
Meeting on Monday as well, 11:30 in the morning downtown. Do you happen to have that address handy? Because I do.
No,
United Bank of El Paso Del Norte at 401 East Main Street. Call up Bernie if you want to know about that, 581-7920. But the commission is the crowd in town doing something about our history.
Lots of things.
And we're going to see that even improve, I think, as the guy that wins the Powerball is going to give them all their money.
Well, you know our website.
Think about that one for a minute.
You got it. Yeah, you know, our website, our Facebook page, which is El Paso History Commission, El Paso County Historical Commission, has got over 14,000 hits now.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Take
so
a look at that stuff
there. People are interested in our history.
Also, we'll tell you when we get to the El Paso Inc. what's in the Inc. this week. There's a major event going on Monday. There are people in town taking a look at our history and our preservation things and on a national and state level. That'd be kind of interesting to talk about as well. And the history of El Paso is what's drawing folks.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing going on Sunday night, 10:30 ABC Channel 7 News Extra. I will be on there with Fred Morales talking about El Paso history with Maria Garcia, and we'll see what they have to ask us. But I'm going to tell them basically that the reason that we have such an interesting opportunity is that because the history is so great here.
That's right.
The heritage is fantastic. Who knows about it? Well, how many 17 million cars on I-10 annually drive by here? Why don't we get a few to stop off and become heritage tourists? It's because they don't know about it.
That's right. And we need to get it out there.
Which brings us to another commission event, and that is the El Paso History TV on YouTube. There is stuff going on in the private sector, and the county is a volunteer organization. The El Paso County Historical Commission is a volunteer crowd that your husband's a chairman of.
That's right.
But that crowd is moving mountains, so to speak, on what's going on with history here. Here comes some more. You'll see some mountains move soon.
Another interesting thing is we have a gentleman in the Ukraine who listens to us, who's interested in our Old West history. And his name is, if I can pronounce it, I hope I do not insult you, sir. It is Miroslav Kaban. I'm assuming that's what it is.
That's close enough.
It's close enough. But he's listening to us in Ukraine on the internet.
There's a lot of that going on.
And there's
there.
A lot of people around the world that do listen to our program and across the country.
We got homeboys that left and they want to keep in touch, and they can do that through the Facebook or this radio show.
People that have found us through the Facebook pages, through other Facebook pages that we link to, that we've got people to come in that way too. So it's really, they're interested in our history.
All right, we got some mystery this hour. Again, we're talking with the Fort Bliss Museum Director and. Say the name of John Hamilton. Say the name of that museum correctly.
1st Armored Division and Fort Bliss Museum.
That's the guy right there. Sounds just like him. John Hamilton is here.
It's no longer Ironsides?
Well, we refer to it as Ironsides. Ironsides is the nickname of the division, yes.
Okay.
And it's no small matter, because if you want to have a stop a tank shell from coming in, you might put some iron on your side.
Uh-huh.
It might work, depending upon the cannon.
There is a story about how the 1st Armored Division came to be Old Ironsides.
Well, what was the thing in the Civil War that was Old Ironsides? It was a boat.
Yeah, well, no, that was the War of 1812, the USS Constitution.
Oh, yes. That's what they called it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So you got a historian here? Get it all straight.
That's right.
Yes. All right, what's going on here now? We need to talk about Concordia Cemetery and also the fact that you had a major post there. Is that when it became known as Bliss? At that location? Or when did Fort Bliss become known?
No, Fort Bliss became Fort Bliss in 1854 after the Army reestablished a post in El Paso in 1853.
Opposite El Paso.
The post opposite El Paso was established in 1849. It was abandoned in 1851. But because there had been a number of Indian depredations, they were still stealing livestock here. It was
shopping.
It's a real problem. The Army Inspector General, who was down here in the Southwest, considered that Fort Bliss should be reestablished in El Paso. So they reestablished the post at McGoffinsville.
That's what they
James did. Wiley McGoffin's land. James Wiley McGoffin, the entrepreneur, the trader, the rancher, the post sutler for the Army after it was reestablished.
Well, he's making money off of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in about a year later, in 1854, the post was named Fort Bliss after William Wallace Smith Bliss, who was had been an officer, West Point graduate, served as Zachary Taylor's adjutant, chief of staff in Mexico in the Mexican-American War.
Wasn't he related to the guy?
Yes, he had married his youngest daughter.
Oh, well, see, now there's a serious event.
So
right there
you have it.
Okay, and now, why did they move him back? That body of that guy has moved to here, right?
Yes, he is. His remains are in the Fort Bliss National Cemetery.
When did that happen? Somebody asked me this week.
About 1955, I believe.
So that was a later event.
Yeah, they were putting a freeway or a highway through or doing some building, and they were actually tearing the whole cemetery down where he was buried.
Wait, Oklahoma?
Yes,
where was he?
Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Yes,
Mississippi.
Thank you.
Yes.
Cool.
Is where
okay.
he was, and now he's here.
And the name Old Ironsides of the museum that you have now came from the history of...
In 1940, the 1st Armored Division was established, was activated at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and the division commander at the time, Major General Bruce Magruder, was looking for a nickname for the division, so he had sort of a competition and didn't like any of the recommendations for the division. And he went home at night, and he had a picture of the USS Constitution on his wall at home. And he looked at it and said, by golly, that's it. Eureka. So it became Old Ironsides, the 1st Armored Division.
Okay. It had nothing to do with the fact that you put armor on the side.
Well, yes.
I'm sure that's why he reflected on that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Right, move us up now. You got us to McGoffinsville, and then to Concordia was the next step, or where?
Concordia was closed, and then you had the Salt War at San Eli. And then you had Hart's Mill established.
And the trains came in.
And this was, well, the trains showed up in 1881.
And blew away the parade ground.
And in 1878, they were establishing the post at Hart's Mill, the Fort Bliss at Hart's Mill. And they were going to use troop labor to build the buildings, as they have done before, because they priced out the cost it would take to build the buildings by contract, and it was outrageous. It was $160,000, and of course, the War Department said, by golly, we are not going to spend that money. We are going to use troop labor.
You stack up some dirt, you people.
But in 1879, you had an uprising in New Mexico with the Warm Springs Apaches.
Yeah.
The chief was Victorio. They had tried to move him
to... Same guy?
They had tried to move him to... Same guy. They tried to move him to... San Carlos Reservation in Arizona, which is just a god-awful place. And they had allowed him to come back, but they had decided again that they were going to move him and the tribe back to San Carlos, at which point the chief said, that's it, we're not going.
I'm taking the A train out of here. You guys are nuts.
Well, he just went out on the warpath
yeah.
and started depredating, and they never knew where he was. So they couldn't get Hart's Mill location built very quickly because all of the troops in the New Mexico Territory were in the field.
Pick up your gun.
Looking for Victorio.
Well, one thing I wanted to get to that we didn't quite do in line in order was the Concordia Cemetery Buffalo Soldier Memorial. Now, we are going to get to the Battle of Embry-O, but the Buffalo Soldier Memorial in El Paso, those guys rode in a bazillion motorcycles. That was great. Take us back to the beginning.
It was a combination of groups. And the Buffalo Soldiers Motorcycle Club, which, of course, carry the logo of the Buffalo Soldier, came to Concordia Cemetery and said they'd like to do a project at Concordia Cemetery for the Buffalo Soldiers. And that was in 2008. And they got together. We got together with the Donnie Brown Buffalo Soldier chapter, which has been here. The local chapter, which has been here forever, and they're a great group of people. And they've been out promoting the Buffalo Soldiers at our schools and different events all
for many, many
years.
Chuck Taylor was part of that.
He's still part of that. And so in the combination between the Motorcycle Club, the Donnie Brown Group, the West Texas Community Supervision, and G&H Memorial Granite, Fort Bliss, the El Paso County Historical Commission, and Concordia Heritage Association, we all put this all together. And so this beautiful monument was built with 42 stones. Now, and a lot of people ask us, they go, why did they bury all the soldiers there? Like, well, no. This is strictly a memorial. There are grave markers there, but those are for the soldiers, and we just wanted to identify them and make it an easy place for people to learn about the Buffalo Soldiers, because not only are the gravestones or the markers there, there's also history on the walls and plaques throughout it, and the flags are flown quite often.
So were those soldiers actually, some of them buried there?
There are some buried in Concordia, and I'm imagining we may find more as we go along because
Somewhere down Yandell Street.
Yeah, Yandell, wherever we are.
Whatever it is.
60,000 plus people at Concordia Cemetery, so I'm sure there's a few more. But what we do have is we have 10 soldiers that were killed at the Carrizal, Mexico, in the battle there. And we only have their markers, and they were from Fort Huachuca. And they're still in Mexico. So this was just a way to honor them because they were in our area, as well as the other soldiers buried in the cemetery. And, you know, it's just a great place to go. Everybody that goes is just blown away with the history.
And you open it up big time for Memorial Day
and you fly the flags.
So what that is for the motorcycle clubs now, it's sort of like a destination.
Yeah.
Let's go to El Paso. Why do they go? Oh, they got a memorial. Bzzz, and they all show up.
They're getting off the freeways. They're going in between different group rides and such to visit this memorial, because it's one of the only ones I know of its size off-site from a military base. All the rest of them are at military bases. So this is the only one that's
Concordia Cemetery.
Right. And also you were talking about Concordia. At the veterans section in Concordia, we have an interpretive sign that explains the history of Camp Concordia also.
Very good. Now, these are the same Buffalo Soldier guys that we're talking about that went up. And actually, the three columns of soldiers tried to hem in Victorio the chief in a little canyon. John, we got a couple of minutes before the break. Set the scene of the Battle of Embry-O Basin.
Colonel Hatch, still in command of the 9th Cavalry Regiment and command of the Department of New Mexico, had scouts that had reported that Victorio and his band of about 250, I believe, were in Embry-O Canyon. So he conceived a two-phased operation. One was to go in and reduce or kill or capture this band, and the second was to move on to the Mescalero Agency near Ruidoso and disarm and dismount the Apaches there, because Victorio had attracted a lot of Mescaleros into his band.
Question, now how is the Army communicating, because they're 50, 60, 100 miles away from this event?
It's a very good question.
How did they talk to each other, the Army?
Heliograph.
Really?
You did that. And
really?
And also you used express riders.
Yes. Oh, like bat out of hell, he's going across the desert.
People riding horses.
Explain the heliograph.
Those were mirrors.
Mirrors.
Yes.
Mountaintop to mountaintop.
That's right.
So this is high tech compared to the Indians who use smoke.
Yes, you could say
Army
that.
Comes in and has mirrors.
Right.
And they can't do this at night, so there's that.
Right.
No night messages for you, General.
So this was to be this two-phased operation.
Yeah.
And the first part of the operation was to take a three-pronged attack.
Where is this place? Where is this place, Embry-O?
Embry-O?
Where is it?
It's in the San Andres Mountains, north of... it's actually north of the highway.
North of Agueri Springs.
Yeah, north of Agueri Springs.
Agueri Springs, the south side of the road. This is
That's
north
right.
side of the road.
This is this
miles
is,
up in the mountains.
It's it's pretty good distance up in the mountains.
One of the
thoughts missile range.
Before we break about this, it is in the missile range. You don't go there. And the other thing is, Victoria Peak is a small peak in a valley. The
yes.
mountains around it overtake it as far as height goes.
It's now, about yeah.
You're not going to see it from any highway. This Victoria Peak,
no,
because it's down in a valley,
right?
Known as Embry-O Basin.
Yes,
there you are. All right, we're going to talk about that battle because people from West Point, the students of the U.S. Army, still come to this area to study that battle.
Yes,
every year there's busloads of cadets out there looking at that battlefield, and someone is explaining what happened.
Yes,
we're going to tell you that story after the break, but we're going to give away some food.
That's Very right. good, sir.
We got Tosca food, no?
Tosca, yes.
We got questions.
Stone
we got
of a Pizzeria.
Buttons to push here. So what's the deal on the questions here?
Well, this one, we're getting back into Victoria Peak area, is, let's see, oh, I may have just given away the answer.
Go for it.
Who was Doc Noss?
Now, we haven't talked about Doc Noss yet.
We have in the past,
Not
though.
In this show today.
No, but we have in the past.
In the past. And Doc Noss was a guy who was, shall we say, interested in Victoria Peak.
Yes.
Why? There's a simple question.
Why was Doc Noss running around in the desert?
Why are we going to give him? What are we going to give him for that? Tosca
stuff? We're going to give him a $20 gift certificate to Tosca's, or we're going to have the transportation, or are we giving away the...
Oh, either one. We'll give him a choice.
A choice of the transportation Waco Tanks DVD or the...
Yeah, that's it.
Transportation.
That's what we got.
Excuse me. And the transportation DVD.
You either
got,
or,
throwing
or
these
Tosca
at me.
Food.
Yes.
$20 a coupon.
That's right.
Two questions. You've heard the first one. And
second
say it again.
One?
Say it again.
Okay. The second is, who was Doc Noss?
That's the question at the moment. Who was Doc?
N-O-S-S.
N-O-S-S. Major player. We haven't talked about him today.
Yeah.
We will explain him, and you have to call us to get this opportunity.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM. Feed your passion at Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria. Open for lunch and dinner at 4017 North Mesa. Try the white and red pizzas, signature pasta dishes, fabulous salads, and a special list of wines and craft beers. Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria has free parking at 4017 North Mesa. Bring your family or have a group meeting at Tosca for a simple or elegant lunch and dinner. Or get it to go from Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria, 4017 North Mesa, 532-2700.
It's not fair. If you suffer from hearing loss, you have two choices. Wear a hearing aid that makes you look old, or miss out on what's going on around you. That's completely unfair. You deserve a better choice. That's why we're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. We'll even give you free shipping and free batteries for life. Call us now. 1-800-500-0409. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are, and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so invisible, people may not even know you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may forget you're wearing it too. You deserve to hear everything more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial, free shipping, and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-500-0409. That's 1-800-500-0409. 1-800-500-0409.
Coming home to an empty house is so sad. Whether you're single, empty nesters, or new to the area, a small wet nose can change that. You'll be amazed how a pet from the Humane Society will fill your home and your heart. The Humane Society of El Paso, open for adoptions 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, and Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 5. Come on over. Your new best friend is waiting for you at 4991 Fred Wilson. It's the Humane Society of El Paso.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we're all here at Standing at Attention. Jeff, Victor, and Art have signed up on the phone calls to see what we can give them. But first, we're going to tell you some things going on here. Next week, January 16th, hour one, we hear about a new film called Before the Alamo. What happened before the Alamo? Well, the guests are from the Spanish Club of El Paso and some people in San Antonio who cooked up this film. We have newly appointed honorary consul to El Paso, Martha Vetta, coming in. And the show's producer will be with us. And the point is, what was going on the Camino Reales down in San Antonio prior to the Alamo? Well, guess what? We have that same Spanish local history here. Mm-hmm. We need a movie. Which is one reason when I saw this, this isn't really about El Paso so much as it's about the Spanish and the Mexicans and the Texicans.
Right.
What happened in El Paso? We need a movie. So here comes one about San Antonio area. El Paso High School turns 100. Next year we're talking to the Trost people about the Trost building,
right,
known as El Paso High School. And they're going to have a big deal coming up at El Paso High about that. We'll have the whole crowd in here. January 23rd, check this out. Historian Joel Guzman, studio with Kurt Getting, whose father was in the middle of building many of our downtown historic properties. Kurt still has the drawings, the stories, and those guys are going to get together and talk about the Plaza Theater, popular dry goods, other historic buildings in downtown that they built. January 30th, IBWC history, if you don't know what that is, International Boundary and Water Commission. And the history that those guys got involved in will blow your mind.
Oh, yeah.
No idea that they did all that. Had a small talk yesterday with one of them. Took me an hour
get off the phone
with this guy because he's got so much.
And he could have kept going. Yes,
he could have. And so we'll get those guys in here. And February 6th, MCAD director Tracy Jerome, acting director of the History and Archaeological Museums, Ben Fife will be in here. And we're also the second hour going to hear from Bernie Sargent about his state of the history, state of the union kind of thing.
State of the union.
What's going
yes.
on in El Paso County?
State of the county.
Yeah, kind of that. So what do you got over there?
Well. If you don't know about the digital wall, it's a great event we have at the History Museum where you can add information and look at history in a digital format. And the great thing is they have the mini digi that actually goes out into the community. And right now it is at Lee Elementary School, which is located at 710 Pandora Street through January 26th. And you can call them for the hours to visit. It is 236-5675. But mini digi is the portable version of the digital wall, and it travels to all kinds of different places around the city. And if you want to have Digi to visit your location, you can contact the El Paso Museum of History at 510 North Santa Fe Street or call them at 351-3588.
Okay, look on the radio what I've got to give away. I'm holding it up to the microphone.
Tosca!
Bunch of coupons.
Two coupons.
And I managed to keep these because I didn't get any new ones yet. So Gustavo down there, you owe me some coupons. But we're going to give these away to people on the phone if they answer the question correctly about the stuff going on in New Mexico. Yeah. It's bizarre because Victoria Peak has a lot of stuff going on mm-hmm. besides Victoria.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the question?
Who was Doc Noss?
We're going to go to Jeff first. Jeff, you got your call in first here. What do you think is the best explanation of who was Doc Noss?
Well, Doc Noss is the one who supposedly found all the gold hidden at the base of Victoria Peak and was actually supposed to tried to close the entrance off and inadvertently blew it shut and had taken some of the gold, according to the story, and hid it around different places in the valley over there on the Las Cruces side, and later was supposedly killed by his partner in front of his house over a dispute.
I think you get the prize, dude. You got it all figured out. But that's the story, right?
Right.
That's not necessarily the reality. We don't know the reality, right?
Well, that's about as most of the reality as we know. As you know, a few years ago, they allowed the Stanley to go back in with ground-penetrating radar to try to prove it, and they couldn't prove anything.
Well, so it goes. But you get the $20 worth of food to Tosca. Now, do you want to? There's two other people on hold, Victor and Art. Would you like to give them a chance at the second question, or you want to take it yourself?
Oh, no. Go ahead and give them a chance.
All right. Hold on, Jeff. In that case, Shelley will come on and tell you how to pick up your coupon. Thank you for playing. Hold on.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. The story about Doc Noss is fabulous. We'll get to that in a second here. But whether it's true or not, totally. Oh, John Hamilton's over here snickering. He sure is. All right. Tosca food in the balance. Let's go to Victor. What's the next question?
The next question is, who was Victorio?
Oh, my God. You were giving the guy the food. Okay. Who was Victorio?
Yeah, this is Victor. Can you hear me?
Victor, tell me who Victorio was.
Victorio was, he was the Indian chief that supposedly hid the gold there in Victoria's Peak.
Stop with just Indian chief, because he may or may not have had anything to do with the gold, and the gold may or might not even ever been there. But
yeah,
the legend is, you were correct about the legend, so you're right.
Okay.
Tosca
okay,
food great. Here. Or you can get either one of you guys could get the Waco Tanks video. You prefer $20 of food?
Or the transportation
we're
video.
We're guessing you want the food.
What is the transportation?
You have your choice of Tosca coupons, $20 to Tosca's restaurant, or you have a choice of the transportation DVD or the Waco Tanks DVD.
About El Paso history.
Okay, now I go for the food, I think.
I thought you would.
The DVD I'd be interested in was the one about the mountains and the plane crashes on the mountains.
Oh, we did that one, Legends of El Paso's yeah. Mountains. It's in a million stores around here. Go buy that one with your $20 worth of food, huh?
Yeah, I can
trade.
Do that.
Victor, thank you for playing. Hold on, please, and Shelly will tell you how to pick this up. Thank you very much. Shelly got another winner here. All right, got one more guy on the phone here. No, he dropped off. I can't blame him. So we're done with this. Let's move on here to a break and come back in a bit. Shall we do that?
Yes.
All right, call us up. Anyway, John Hamilton's here. He's got information.
Or go to our Facebook
yes,
page.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, let's not forget that. The El Paso History Radio Show. And we've posted a picture of our lovely host, or lovely guest this morning. And also I put links to the museums as well as also the link to the Buffalo Soldier Memorial at Concordia.
Oh, you did? Excellent.
Yes, so
okay.
If you want to find it, take a look. Go now.
El Paso History Radio Show on?
Facebook.
There we go. What's the phone number?
544-5876-544-KTSM.
You've heard you should aim to have a nest egg of $600,000 to $1.5 million to comfortably retire, or basically 10 to 12 times your current income. That can be scary when the stock market can cut your nest egg in half just like that. Well, you don't have to be scared. We've got the solution. Options Animal is offering a proven six-step guide to investing absolutely free. It'll help you make consistent income from the stock market, whether the market is up, down, or sideways, building and protecting your retirement for you and your family.
With Options Animal, I feel like I can survive any market they throw at me. I have complete financial independence.
Not only will you discover proven methods to generate consistent income, but you'll also discover backup plans to protect yourself if your stocks are going the wrong way. To claim your free six-step guide to investing today, simply go to sixstepinvesting.com and enter your email address. That's sixstepinvesting.com. Get your guide today for free by going to sixstepinvesting.com. Again, that's sixstepinvesting.com.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, folks, we're going to tell you this week what's going on in El Paso, Inc. And Shelly's just all excited that the guy who answered the question, Victorio, was named Victor. I think.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what you said. That's not what you said. All right, moving on to El Paso. It's getting weird in
whatever.
Here.
Whatever.
Paso Inc., what's going on this week? Okay. Only in El Paso Inc. Oh, it's exciting, though. Say it
yes.
that way.
Well, especially for me. How jewelry shopping in El Paso is changing and why election years can be bad for business.
Really? There's a connection there?
Yeah,
okay.
Think.
Here's another one in El Paso Inc. What you need to know about Helen of Troy's stronger than expected profits and its move into smartphone devices.
Ooh. And why a national organization that promotes historic preservation is visiting El Paso this week.
And you should see the article, which I have right here in my hands, from El Paso Inc. already by Robert Gray. National Trust for Historic Preservation is here on Monday conducting a fact-finding mission in El Paso, along with the people from Preservation Texas. They're going
to
take a look at our buildings downtown and our history all over the place and see if maybe a little national help could come and do what we are now. Okay,
yes.
Moving back to where we are here. Where are we exactly?
We were talking about
the Embryo base at John Hamilton. And they're studying this at West Point. They bring the people down and take a look at it. What happened in this battle?
As we said before, they had good intelligence that Victorio and his band were there, so they came up with a plan for a three-pronged attack into the basin: Western Task Force, a Northern Task Force, and an Eastern Task Force, all coordinated to descend into the basin at the same time. Well, as we know, communications were not very good between these three task forces. So one of the task forces was supposed to water up at Aleman, where there was a water pump. That's on the western side of the San Andres Mountains. The pump was not working right, so they were delayed. So the Eastern Task Force got there first under command of a Major Carroll out of Fort Stanton.
All precisely controlled by mountain-to-mountain mirror talking.
Well, not very well using that method,
as actually. Precise as that can be.
So Carroll took his task force in early, and he managed to get himself pinned down and surrounded by Victorio. Carroll's troopers were armed with single-shot 1873 model Springfield carbines, which were good, robust weapons, but Victorio had some repeating rifles among his people. So Carroll was wounded. A number of the troopers were wounded. They couldn't get to water. It was really, they were in pretty dire straits when the next morning, I think it was March the 30th of 1880, the other task forces showed up and came in via the northern and western approaches. And at that point, Victorio managed to pull together his people and withdraw to the south. Unseen by the cavalry. So Victorio got away and managed to get into Mexico, and the troopers were left to clean up the aftermath and treat their wounded and withdraw. So that was essentially it. It went about 2 days.
And Victorio used to hang out in that valley at what became his namesake, the Peak, a little tiny peak surrounded by higher mountains.
Victorio knew New Mexico like the back of his hand.
There was water there at one point.
Yes, there was water.
Maybe not now.
But the troopers couldn't get to it.
Right, no, he had the water.
Yes.
But the point was Victorio slipped away with, I mean, you're not just talking soldier Indians or warriors, you're talking family.
Yes.
He had the whole crew with him.
He had his the wives and the children were with him. The old folks, they were all there.
And you tell all the little kids, be quiet, we're being shot at, we're sneaking out, and the kids did it.
And the kids did it.
That was Indians.
Yes.
Okay, so that happened there on what is now the White Sands Missile Range. This battlefield apparently was discovered kind of through letters. It was kind of like known that it happened, but nobody made a big deal about it until Carl Lombaugh came along archaeologist contractor for White Sands Missile Range and figured it out.
They went out there with metal detectors, and they found the spent rounds where the troopers and the Indians actually were. They found some of the old bullets. So you can tell. You've got 4570 or 4555 Springfield carbine spent rounds. Okay, that's the cavalry. And then you found just a plethora of Sharps rounds, Colt rounds in different places around the battlefield. So you can tell where the Indians were and where the Indians were.
And you can
where the troopers were.
You could trace a gun by its forensics on what you recovered.
More or less, yes.
And where did this gun fire when during the battle, being at the beginning, it was up at the top of the canyon, and it ended at the bottom of the canyon, and maybe it didn't go on any further.
That's right.
Like, this shot twice here, four here, and the six shooter went six shots at the bottom. There's nothing next to it. So you presume the guy got killed there.
There used to be a spent cartridge in the museum at White Sands, which was a rimfire cartridge, and you can see where the detents were, where the firing pin hit this thing, and it didn't fire. So the whoever had it, probably one of the Apaches, pulled the round out, turned it a little bit, put it back in, tried to fire it again, didn't work, kept turning it, putting it back in until it finally fired.
And the difference between this battlefield and the Battle of Little Bighorn that we mentioned earlier was the Battle of Little Bighorn was known where it was, what it was, and the public was allowed to go all over it prior to them saying, oh, this is historic, and lock it up. So there had been picked up a lot of the shells at the Battle of Little Bighorn.
Yes.
Whereas at this Battle of Embry-O Basin, nothing had been touched, we could pretty be sure.
Well, it's pretty remote.
Because it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And the fact that it was quite unknown until somebody started piecing together letters from Buffalo soldiers. And then somebody went back and looked into the archive. Oh, yeah, there was an army skirmish here. It's noted.
Right.
Look who what it was. And the story built, and Carl got a hold of it and detected all the shells.
The National Archives has quite a store there of information on the Victoria War in terms of dispatches and letters and memoranda and cables, telegraph reports.
Something,
and it's all there. You just have to go dig for it.
Something we didn't talk about ahead of time, was this where the Apache woman named Lausanne got her history? I think she was at this battle.
Yes.
It was a woman warrior, very unusual in Apache history, but I believe she was a relative of Victoria's.
She may have been. I'm fuzzy on that.
Let's look that up, because that was another piece of this puzzle. But the thing about this battle was, it is in a location which later became famous, because you got a guy out, what was he, deer hunting? Doc Noss was out deer hunting, theoretically. Something like that. And by the way, this entire gold story is written up on a White Sands Missile Range site by the former public information officer, Jim Eccles.
Yes.
Fabulous writing that he did.
Right.
So if you want to know what the whole Victoria Gold thing was about from the perspective of somebody who has walked that land a lot, Jim Eccles is the guy. And it's all online. Go to White Sands Missile Range. You can dig through it. Search for Eccles. Search for Victoria, whatever. You'll get there. But his understanding of it was that Doc was out hunting, found a hole in the top of the mountain, went down in, found some gold, pulled it out, decided to come back later and showed the gold around to get backing, come back later with dynamite to open the hole, and all he did was seal the hole.
Oh, they did extensive excavations to try to find the gold.
Okay, but that's what happened to Doc Noss. Now, come forward to what happened next. They looked everywhere. They dug into it. They came back years later after Doc Noss had died. The family got rights to go in there.
Well, they tried to go back in and dig for it, and they never found anything. For one thing, the geology's wrong for natural gold deposits in the area.
Oh, no, this would have been cached gold.
And this was supposed to be a cache, but no, they never found anything.
Well, yeah, the geology is not there for natural gold.
I don't know if Lausanne was there, but she is an interesting woman. She was a skilled warrior and a prophetess of the Cheyenne Chihuahua Apache, and she was the sister of Victorio and a prominent chief born in Chihuahua, Banda, whatever. Lausanne was, according to legends, able to use her powers in battle to learn the movements of the enemy. Victorio said, "Lausanne is my right hand. Light hand, strong as a man, braver than most, and cunning in strategy. Lausanne is a shield to her people."
She was
a medicine woman,
seeress, apparently.
Yeah.
They did I think PBS did a story on her specifically about Lausanne. Is L-O-J-A-N?
Lausanne. It's L-O-Z-E-N. Lausanne.
I knew how to say it. Okay. Yeah. But that all went on there. There's the Battle of Embry-O Basin. There's the story of what the gold is. And where it is now, nobody knows. I've heard stories so many times, John. Some guy, I was in the Army in the 40s and the 50s, and some guy got a truck, and we went out over the weekend, and we cleaned the thing out, and really? I don't know.
Well, there are different stories.
Exactly.
Right.
But that's the story we're going with. I mean, you lie, I'll swear to it. We don't really know what happened.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it.
That's it. So that's kind of like the Battle of Embry-O Basin in a nutshell. But also, there was so many other things the Buffalo soldiers got into. Now, the reason that I didn't understand this until you just told it. The reason they didn't coordinate correctly to nail Victoria all at once They couldn't get the water at this other location.
That's right.
I was wondering why one crowd was late, if this is so important.
Well, you had to water your horses.
Oh, yeah.
And there is some information that that Carol watered his horses at a spring out on White Sands, and it was a gypsum spring, and there is some of the story is the horses and some of the troopers got sick from the water. And that's possible.
Well, that had to go on a lot in the Old West, because you see water, you're thirsty, you're going to drink it. Oh,
that's right.
We don't know. And back then, they didn't know there was stuff in it.
They didn't.
You let the silt settle.
Yes.
And therefore, it was going to be okay.
Well, yes.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
Let's find out what John has to say about this. John's on the radio with us now. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Well, is Victoria the same chief that you find down in the Big Bend area?
John, I don't know that one.
I believe so, because he traveled.
Victorio was actually, he withdrew into Mexico for a while. He tried to come back into the United States via Texas.
Oh, I see.
At the Big Bend or no?
Down around the Big Bend.
So he's right.
Across the Rio Grande.
Yeah,
yes, you
guy.
Are correct. It's the same guy. He fought two actions against the 10th Cavalry, one at a place called Rattlesnake Springs and one at Tinaja de las Palmas. In western Texas, and essentially there, Colonel Benjamin Grierson, commander of the 10th Cavalry, didn't try to fight a battle. He just covered all the water holes that he knew Victoria would have to access, and when they finally came up to one of the water holes where he had troopers, then he was able to reinforce very quickly, and he drove Victoria back into Mexico, where he was killed by Mexican troops at Tres Castillos.
Okay.
In 1880. Yes. Yes, sir.
What was the year when this battle that you just talked about, what year was it?
In Brio?
1880.
1880.
Yes, March of 1880. Yes, sir.
Okay. It's because I have a book here, The Big Bend, A History of the Last Texas Frontier.
Yes.
And it's got a picture of him here on page 116.
Right.
It says, Victorio led the last resistance of the Apaches to the U.S. Cavalry in Big Bend. So I guess he must, and it says here he did, he was killed in October of 1880.
Yep.
It was
the Mexican army got him.
Yes.
Okay. Because, yes, I know, I did a little bit of work down in the Big Bend area.
Yes.
Well, Alpine. And I used to hear about that.
Yes.
Same guy.
Tinaja de las Palmas is in the Big Bend, as is Rattlesnake Springs, is up rather somewhat north of Van Horn.
The Indians used to run the place here, and when they got outgunned and outmanned, that's when they finally were gone. So. Well, thanks for ringing up, Art.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
John, I think. I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Also, we have now posted Barbara Given Baney, bless her little heart. She's got Lozen posted here with a picture. On Facebook. What page is that on?
That's on her page.
That's on Remember in El Paso
Win. Yes.
And so go take a look at that. There's a picture of Lozen, L-O-Z-E-N. And I'd heard about her being big deal. And also, Barbara has got the maps of the battlefield there of Embry-O Basin. And John, when they come down and study this, you say you can't get a bus up in there, but the students do go up in there.
You can get up
the
in there.
The cadets from West Point go in and look at this whole thing.
Yes.
Wow. Amazing stuff. All right. There's more history there. And it's all about the region that we're in here. Appreciate you listening. John, we're going to take a break and come back in a moment. Shall we do that now?
Yes,
no
we
more
can.
Phone calls. We'll do Facebook if you want.
Okay. Go to El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page. And like I said, we've got a picture of John and also the links to their museum at Fort Bliss, as well as the Buffalo Soldier Memorial at Concordia Cemetery.
We shall be back in just a moment.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-705-2776. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-705-2776. That's 1-800-705-2776.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments, and by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, folks, we're going to go to Pepe's after the radio show. We'll be out there by about 12:30. John Hamilton is going to go with us, and we're going to go sit there and eat Mexican food because it's wonderful.
I'm going to have their sopa de pollo. Are
you going to have that?
Yes.
Well, I usually get the ones that the three-roll tacos because that's fine.
Yes.
But that's after the radio show today. Meet us at Pepe, 6761 Donovan, a major wonderful sponsor of ours, and we're going to go out there and check out their food and probably just eat a bunch of it. All right, in the meantime, two new videos that have been put up on YouTube, but I got more that I'm going to do, and these are on the El Paso History TV channel. Part of the El Paso County Historical Commission. Go to YouTube/El Paso History TV for a whole bunch of stuff we do. What do you got?
Well, you also have another video that you just uploaded, which is a video list of the people who were on the official roster of the 1598 Oñate Entrada Expedition. This YouTube channel is supported by the El Paso County Historical Commission and has 80 different TV reports, lectures, mini-documentaries, and historical events recorded since January of 2013 and is now an underwriter supporter from the Hunt Family Foundation.
We like those. They like what we're doing, too. All right, more history here with the historian himself, Bob Keller. Bobby, what's happening? I've got you on the radio.
Well, I just listened to everything. I think I have the only treasure from Victoria Peak. You've seen them. I have my cruciform stirrups.
Yes.
That Doc Noss had given a friend of mine who gave them to me.
That you may have the only treasure. You're right.
That story is interesting because Doc Noss came in to Don Thompson down. He had a sporting goods store in Bassett Towers in the 30s and told him his story. And Don grubstaked him, gave him tents, supplies, shovels, all kind of stuff.
To go back up to Embrio Basin?
The what?
To go back up to Embrio Basin?
Yeah, he came down to El Paso for help while he was digging everything out. And Don, helped him with supplies. And a year later, Doc Noss came in and said he'd found gold and paid back Don every penny he owed him and gave him the stirrups as a gift. And I still have them. They're beautiful Spanish stirrups that were from Victoria Peak.
So, I've seen them. They're great.
And you'd mentioned Nichols' name at White Sands. I told him the story once because he was kind of poo-pooing the whole deal with Doc Noss. And there was a treasure there. And that's too long a story to go into right now in your program. But Nichols was shocked when he heard my story. But I have the syrups to prove it. So.
Yeah, we've seen those.
It's Jim Eccles, Eccles, right, John?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Thank you, Bobby. You can join us for lunch?
I can't today. Sorry.
See you next time.
I'd like to have met John.
he'll be out of Pepe. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
You take care of you. But Bob knows all about this stuff. He's been in the middle of this stuff forever. So, John Hamilton, we've got to the end of 2 hours. What do you want to recap here? What do you want to summary? You tell us about the museum and how to get out there, how to enjoy it.
Well, you can come on to museum. You could go through either the Buffalo Soldier, the Chaffee Gate, or the Sheridan Gate. You will need, if you don't have a DOD ID card, you will need to get a pass to come on the post. But that requires a driver's license and proof of insurance and that sort of thing.
Well, that's right off of Fred Wilson,
and
correct?
It's right off of Fred Wilson,
yeah,
indeed.
Just inside the gate.
We are redoing the museum. The museum's been neglected for some years. The first step is redoing the tank park out front. The next step will be redoing the exhibits storyline and redoing the exhibits inside so that we showcase the 1st Armored Division and the post.
We have a women's section in there, don't you also, about
the
women
did,
in the
Army?
We will
be redoing some of that as well.
Great.
And we are just we're moving things around, and unfortunately they're very big things, so you have to bring in heavy stuff to move those things
I
around.
I want the keys to move the tanks. I just...
Oh, well, no, they don't run. But they do, thankfully, they do roll. So you can yank them. You can tow them into place. We're going to try to get the gift shop back on. But right now I don't have a gift shop. I need a private organization that is vetted on Fort Bliss to run it. And we would like to get it back up and running.
Can they make a profit? I mean,
Yes. And there are some. There's quite a bit of traffic. I had more than 15,000 visitors between June and the end of the year come through that museum.
When do you think this will all be done? I mean, what is the tentative open date for the?
I think we're about 2 years away. My boss is coming in. My boss is two time zones and 2,000 miles away, and she is coming in on Tuesday night to spend Wednesday with us. To see if I've indeed made the progress that I've told her we have made, and to give guidance.
Staying on that timeline.
And I have to say I'm getting great support from the garrison. I'm getting fabulous support from the 1st Armored Division and from General Twitty, and we will get it done.
Question, does your V2 have concrete in the middle of it?
That is a good question. I don't think there's really anything in the V2. The V2 at White Sands Missile Range is on its side and does show its interior mechanisms and so forth.
That was full of concrete.
But the one I have is probably there to stay.
Is yours the one that used to be out in Logan Heights?
I believe, on
Dyer.
I believe that's the one that was there, yes.
Okay. It probably didn't have concrete in it because that thing was heavy. One at White Sands Missile Range, they filled it up with concrete so it wouldn't fall over in the wind.
Right.
And they spent tremendous amounts of time and energy to get the concrete out of there.
They had to take it out, and they had to put the mechanisms and the pumps and everything back into it.
John Hamilton, thank you for being here, Senior.
My pleasure, sir.
And good luck with the museum. Keep us informed, if you will.
Come and see us.
We will. Melissa, we're going to come back here next week, shall we?
I think so.
We've got the Before the Alamo movie coming in next week in El Paso High School, all kinds of stuff going on.
And
so
we're going to go to Pepe's today.
Today is Pepe's,
us.
And all everybody else, we're going to see you right after the news and the show. Out at Pepe's. So there. Next week, coming in. See you then. And also ephistory.com for details. Melissa?
That's it.
Thanks for being here.
Bye-bye.
Next week, y'all. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. By Monterey Asset Management, for your real estate investments. And by Tosca Stone Oven Pizzeria at 4017 North Mesa. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.